This is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. The COVID-19 pandemic has resulted in a shift away from traditional classroom, causing a global surge in online learning, with teaching conducted mostly through digital platforms. Even my own kids are going through 2 years of schooling from the living room. So because of this, as restrictions ease and as schools reopen, online learning will continue to be a mainstay to ensure continuous learning, presenting a good time to take a stock of how we look at the future of education in Malaysia, not just about the K-12 stage, but of course at university as well, and vocational learning as well. But the focus for today will be on how children will be growing up to be the future talent and future leaders in our digital first world, and how we are integrating them and making them integral in fueling the nation's economic recovery and growth. So this demands new ways of thinking. It requires a new way of looking at how to upskill our kids even better, and perhaps fostering innovation and ensuring business continuity across all sectors. And this is, of course, especially crucial because Malaysia does seek to create first-class digital capability in the next 5 to 10 years in our My Digital Roadmap. So there's plenty to unpack here. And we have Susan Warner, Vice President at Talent Management, Community Engagement at MasterCard, here to unpack some of the things that MasterCard is doing, of course, to talk about this as well. Susan, how are you, Susan?
I'm well, thank you.
Let's talk a little bit more about what you do at MasterCard and the kind of work that you do relates to Malaysia.
Sure. Well, at MasterCard, I head up global community engagement, overseeing global volunteerism, global disaster response. And nearly 8 years ago, I founded Girls for Tech, our global STEM education program.
Because of that, the potential of STEM to future-proof individuals and communities is extremely crucial. But, you know, I tweeted something in the sense that, you know, while STEM is important, we need to also build people with better communication skills, people with empathy, people with the great belonging of citizenship and citizenhood, and so many others. But of course, STEM really drives the digital first notion. How do we balance between, you know, getting kids to take up or be appreciative of STEM education, STEM learning, but at the same time not giving up on that human element of being a little bit more empathetic and a little bit more creative, the side of learning?
Well, I think both combine beautifully. Exposure to STEM fields, exposure to STEM subjects like cryptology, fraud detection, digital convergence, AI. Exposure at an early age is fantastic because then they can see themselves in future STEM careers, but also, interacting with STEM professionals so that they can see what that person acts like, what they think, how they react to the students. I think that's really important that they see both sides of STEM. It's not a myopic subject. It's really a beautiful microcosm of everything that's in this world.
And of course, we're looking at future-proofing individuals and communities by helping build their digital prowess and digital capacity. And of course, everything starts at the grassroots level. In Malaysia, advancing online learning of STEM does support our initiative to move all things digital and build first-class capacity in Malaysia. Can you try to see if what you're doing right now ties up with the national agenda of the country of building a digital-first K-12 education?
Sure. You know, when we started Girls for Tech, it was an in-person program. So girls around the world would come to our MasterCard offices and experience Girls for Tech in person, cracking codes, listening for potential fraud, solving problems using big data. So it was very hands-on, interactive. But the world is changing. The world is definitely digitizing. I think the pandemic certainly accelerated that. So we've been moving to a digital curriculum for a while now. And a program like Agents of Tech, which is a Girls for Tech program, is a great digitized curriculum. So you can learn on your own time, but also experience those STEM careers that we want everyone to learn about.
Does this tie in with how MasterCard engages with communities around the world as well, or is Malaysia one of those outliers that you're focusing a little bit more attention on?
No, Malaysia is one of our 49 countries that Girls for Tech has been to. We created this really special program just for Malaysia, and it's called Agents of Tech, a Girls for Tech program. So you are one of our very special countries because we don't create customized curricula for everyone.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about the Agents for Change as well, because I think many of us want to be inspired by the great work that you guys do. Please do elaborate on that.
Oh, sure. So, you know, everyone thinks about MasterCard as a credit card company. Well, we're not. We are cryptology, algorithms, fraud detection, big data. So what we wanted to do with our partner ARIS and the Ministry of Education is create a digital curriculum that focuses on cryptology, AI for social good, fraud detection. So it's a step-by-step learning opportunity. Girls and boys can flow through it and earn a certificate. So it's really bringing real-world STEM careers to life in a fun, engaging, digital way.
Okay, Susan, we'll have to go for one short break. When we come back, we'll continue with Susan Warner of MasterCard. You're watching Notepad. Joining us is Susan Warner, all the way from California. She's the Vice President of Talent Management and Community Engagement at MasterCard. She is also the Girls for Tech founder. Susan, the second half of the conversation has to be involving teachers as well, on top of parents and, of course, students themselves. But how do you include teachers in this conversation? How do you equip them to become a little bit more competent and a little bit more able or willing to get more out of this program that you guys are rolling out?
Right. Well, just want to say, my youngest daughter is a teacher, so I firmly believe that our teachers are angels on the planet. So shout out to all of them. So we really want to support our teachers and bringing real world examples to their classrooms. So that's why we've partnered with teachers across the globe to make sure they feel comfortable with the subjects and that they can introduce these subjects to their students. What we find is that our teachers really love examples of fraud detection, cyber hygiene, which is really important, AI for social good. So these are subjects that are being tossed about, but we do a deep dive into these so that, our teachers feel comfortable and they can bring it to life for their students.
One of the big things that we need to think about is tech and girls don't normally come together. And this is, of course, I don't know, by design or by bias. If you go to, you know, California, the world's Silicon Valley, I suppose, keeps on looking at trying to break gender bias, break glass ceilings. It's still not enough. There's still more that needs to be done. But of course, around the world, it's the same thing as well. And we want to see how Girls for Tech can actually get more out of this, trying to improve on the gender bias. It must surely be a generational or a long game for this one. Where do you see us trying to break that gender bias or breaking glass ceilings when it comes to girls in tech?
I do think we have a ways to go. We're not there yet. The world is 50-50, men and women, but not in tech roles. So everyone needs to do a little bit more to introduce girls to these subjects, because if they can see it, they can be it. And that's what we want. We do want a 50-50 representation because we can build better products and services with diversity of thought. So that's really important to technology companies like MasterCard. We just want to make sure that these girls can see what a cryptologist looks like, how they act, what they do, how someone in AI can create a better product or service. So that's really important to us, that exposure at a young age, and then keep them interested through their education. And then companies like ours are welcoming this great talent.
There is this whole notion of trying to reach out to a lot more countries. You were mentioning over 40 countries. There's also the languages that needs to be talked about when it comes to Girls for Tech. There's Spanish, there's French, there's Arabic. These are the usual suspects, Chinese. But, you know, what I find interesting is that you also engage in Arabic, in Polish, in Malay. And of course, the biggest usage of them all, of course, Hindi, where, you know, close to 1 billion speakers are out there. When you craft these kind of programs, do you feel that, you know, not only do you have to translate these kind of languages to reach out to more people, but of course, try to understand the nuances and the culture that comes along with it more often than not? You know, things do get lost in translation, particularly when we understand about local nuances. Women are not seen the same in many places around the world. Perhaps in Malaysia, women become bosses. I certainly have a boss waiting for me at home right now. But generally speaking, it's not the same or not equal in many other places. Where do you see the kind of connection that you need to build, not just in rolling out programs in various languages, but trying to understand the culture and nuances that comes along with it?
That's a really good question. We work very closely with our country partners to make sure that Girls for Tech is introduced in the right way. We do translate up to, I think we're on our 21st language. So we make sure that this program is accessible to as many who want it. So we just keep adding languages. We just added Greek and Norwegian. So we'll keep going if there's interest, and we'll keep adding to girlsfortech.com. We have activities there. So I think it's really important that we introduce the program in the right way to countries. As you mentioned, there are, you know, different ways of working in each country. That's important to us. But what I can tell you is that I have been to many countries through the Girls for Tech program, and the girls react the same exact way, whether it's San Francisco, Singapore, Vadodara in India. They're just really enjoying themselves. It's that hands-on, interactive program that they really like. And cracking the codes works in every language, whether it's Arabic or Hindi. So we're having a whole lot of fun. Our employees are around the world at MasterCard, and they're the ones who take this curriculum and they expand it into their country. So that's why I feel confident that we're reaching the cultural sensitivities, we're translating, we're making sure that there's nothing that could be misunderstood. But then our employees showcase their passion for cryptology, AI, cybersecurity, and they bring that passion to the girls who come to our buildings. And now we even run digital programs all across the world. We're just gonna keep going despite the pandemic. And I think coming out of the pandemic, it will be a hybrid world.
You know, Susan, you touched on two important things. The first is you're mentioning that girls do react in the same way despite where they are on the planet, as well as where they stand in terms of their station in life. But on the other hand, the second part is that because of this, the risks that we expose to girls is actually quite the same all around the world as well. Now, you know, I've been debating this with a lot of my guests on my show, talking about the Facebook papers, you know, about how Instagram does push, you know, anxiety levels higher when it comes to girls on social media, not just Instagram, just, you know, generally speaking, social media. I have a 14-year-old girl and, you know, she's tougher than most, tough as nails. But, you know, the things that she gets, right, on social media, you know, I mean, already I was a bit upset that she was on social media, but, you know, you can't stop, you know, kids with phones, right? It's just it's an impossible thing to do. But it also touches about that whole notion of cybersecurity, of data privacy, of how to behave in an ethical situation using tech. It's not a question just for Facebook or Instagram or whatever. It's a question for society. How do you feel? Society needs to work hand in tandem, parents, you know, all the stakeholders, teachers, folks like you and me, to get the conversation out there in order to not just protect girls, because eventually they will become women and they will become leaders. How do we shape the society to live with technology even better? Because this is, of course, the first time humanity's ever faced such a time when, you know, if people can across the world can just speak to my 14-year-old through a DM. It's a bizarre and scary world, if you ask me.
Oh, I sympathize. I've raised two daughters, and you know, it's the world is changing rapidly. But here's what I also know: it's really, really critical that we introduce these subjects, cyber hygiene, at an early age. They need to know the digital footprint that they are creating and be very cognizant of that. So again, if we have education countering everything and exposure to STEM, exposure to different types of opportunities, I think that will counter other influences that come about in life, but it's knowledge that's so critical to their decision making.
Before we go for one more break, I just want to understand a little bit better about trying to see how this curriculum fits the students right now, and whether or not you need to tweak or change your program as you roll out these programs and as you learn more. Do you feel that nimbleness has to be there in these kind of programs such as Girls for Tech or Agents of Tech?
Yeah, absolutely. The original Girls for Tech program touches lightly on all the subjects I mentioned. And what we found out were that girls did not walk into any of our buildings across the globe saying they wanted to be a fraud detective, but they did on the way out. So something special was happening. So we created a new program, Girls for Tech, Cyber and AI, so we get that deeper dive into cybersecurity and AI. So, and we just keep adding, you know, we have to stay nimble. The world is changing so rapidly. And so is our company and the subjects that we take on. So yes, Girls for Tech will definitely stay flexible. We will continue to work with ARIS to keep adding content to Agents of Tech, because it is really important to stay on top of this industry and keep the learning going for our girls and boys.
All right, Susan, one more break before we conclude our conversation with Susan Warner of Mastercard. This is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Susan Wong is on the line with us all the way from California. Susan, how have you been celebrating Thanksgiving?
Oh, by visiting my family for the first time in 2 years. We're hosting a family reunion in Sonoma County, California. So I usually live in Connecticut and work in New York, but it's great to be here with my entire family.
It's bizarre, right? You know, to see someone so close but have never seen them for 2 years. It's just a crazy time for us. But this is also an in for me to ask you. Times have changed quite considerably, and perhaps for good, on how we view relationships, on how we appreciate the empathy with each other, and of course try to see where we can improve on building future relationships. Do you feel that rolling out these kind of programs with Mastercard, with Girls for Tech around the world, do you feel that that whole human element needs to be improved even further? Do you feel that celebrating holidays like Thanksgiving or Hari Raya here in Malaysia and Christmas and New Year's coming up, it just brings about that whole notion that not only do we have to be more human, but we have to use tech to get more to behave more human?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think the last 19 months have shown us that we do need empathy for each other, and we do need to reach out and help one another. The digital program of Girls for Tech really came about a month into the pandemic. My daughter is a teacher, as I said, She was really looking for extra content so that she could teach online. And parents were also looking for that extra content to keep their children engaged. We built girlsfortech.com in 3.5 days. We've been keep adding activities. We worked with ARIS to build Agents of Tech because we know that this is kind of a crazy world right now. But the more we can do to help each other, to reach out, give opportunities, exposure to STEM careers. These girls, these boys are going to be our future scientists, our future, you know, technologists, and they need that exposure and those opportunities so that they can create the best possible technology, as you said, with empathy, so that our world keeps getting better and better. So the future is theirs, and we're here to support them.
Thank you very much, Susan. That was indeed a very interesting conversation. I wish you all the best, Susan. I wish the people at MasterCard all the best as well in rolling out this program. This is, of course, a very interesting conversation to be had. There's much more that needs to be had like this. That was Susan Warner, the Vice President, Talent Management Community Engagement at MasterCard. She's also the founder for Girls for Tech at MasterCard. For now, that is it for this episode. If you've missed any part of this episode, just head on to astrawani.com, look for Notepad, or look for MasterCard, or in fact, go to girlsfortech.com and see what you can find out more there as well. Until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.